Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, Dr. Candace Campbell is a multifaceted person in just about every way you can think of. I mean, she's a career nurse with so many designations after her name, I couldn't even begin to explain what they mean. She's an author, a producer of documentary films, an improv actor with some pretty intriguing one-person shows that she's mainly uses in keynote presentations at healthcare conferences, but that's about to change. One of them, she portrays probably the most famous nurse ever, Florence Nightingale, and we will definitely be talking about that today. And we had a blessing with Candy last time. She was on as we're discussing her book, Improv to Healthcare, A System for Creative Problem Solving. But she is just preparing to release a new book as well titled Improv to Improve Your Leadership Team. And this book will be released soon in April of 2023. But help me welcome to the program, Dr. Candy Campbell. Candy, it is such a blessing to talk to you again. I appreciate taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Oh, thank you, Bob. It's always great to talk to you.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with, mainly for those who may not have heard our prior interview, can you give us some information on, you know, who is Candace Campbell?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I call it the crazy quilt of my life and how the Lord has used me. But, you know, I'll tell you, I feel akin to Florence Nightingale in a lot of ways. And one of the ways, when I was reading through her 200 articles and 200 books and articles and over 10,000 of her letters, I came across a quote, and I'm not going to say it perfectly, but the idea is when she was asked, you know, if I could give you some information about my life, it basically would show how an ordinary person was used by God to be in his service. And if you would understand everything that I have done, it's really God who's done it all. And of course, you know, that requires that when you say yes to the Lord, you work hard. And so I have. But mainly, I think when the Lord, and here's maybe the message that Nightingale had that I would love to say, that when you feel the Lord calling you to do something, you don't refuse him. You say yes, even though it costs you time and sometimes money. It's his will.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. Now, you started off as a nurse, a very successful nurse, but how did you end up doing what you're doing now?
Well, actually, I started off as an actor.
Oh, okay. My bad.
My initial degree is in, the long title of it is Speech Communication and Theater with an Emphasis in Acting and a Minor in Education. So, you know, I think I might have mentioned last time I was on that I had a kind of a what we used to call a casting couch experience. and you know, even though, and maybe I hope this will resonate with some of your viewers or your audience. Even though at the time in my life, I had really pretty much walked away from faith. Although I think when the Lord has his hand on your life, you know, my early exposure to the things of God through the church, through the Ten Commandments and the moral responsibility of what it means to live in this world, I was just very naive and very young when I was 21 and graduated from college. And even though I wasn't walking in faith at the time, when this experience happened and this person sort of pressed himself literally upon me, I basically freaked out, threw him across the room and said, that's, you know, I'm not, you know, what are you doing? And he told me, you know, well, you're an actor and this is the way the game is played, you know, and I said, not for me. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm going to have to find another way to make a living. and so, you know, I like to travel. So then I started traveling and was a flight attendant for 5 years. And then it was on during those travels that I got what I call and what Florence Nightingale called the call to be a nurse.
Amen. Amen. And what area of nursing did you specialize in?
The last 23 years of my career was neonatology. I was a NICU nurse. But before that, you know, it's kind of funny when your family moves around as a teacher and as a nurse, it's pretty much the same thing. Even if you might be in some sort of national union or something like that, you don't get to take your seniority with you. And so it seemed like when I moved or when I needed a new job, I had to find a new area. So started out in the burn unit and then went to ICU, CCU, then labor and delivery for a few years, and wound up in the nursery the last 23 years before I became an administrator and then an educator.
Amen. And you did a documentary about premature babies as well, correct?
Yeah, I did. And that goes back to talking about saying yes to this impression, you know, that the Lord wants you to do something that is very inconvenient at the time. I was commercial actor on the side, you know, my little side gig, because I just love having fun. And it was, well, by that time I was a single mom and I really needed the money too. And it was easy as opposed to being on stage where you've got a lot of rehearsals and being away, you know, my kids were still in grade school, middle school or high school. And so I just didn't have time when this problem came around, you know, in it was the late 90s when a study came forward that said that these premature babies that we were saving, it raised the sort of rhetorical question of, is this a good use of our taxpayer money to fund the research, you know, for the medical devices that were getting smaller and smaller and smaller so that we could keep these teeny tiny babies alive? And of course, as NICU nurses, we saw the results. Mostly it was positive. Sometimes, you know, we saw death too. But the question was, what are we going to do to answer this huge study that had been done about babies in the 80s? What are we going to, as neonatal nurses and the healthcare team, it wasn't just the nurses, but, you know, we're the largest segment. So I'm just telling you that when that happened and this big article throughout the United States about the findings of these babies in the 80s and that they're cumulative, well, their average anyway, intelligence was slated to be around 86, that we were effectively increasing the disabled population. And is this morally right? You know, should we be doing this? Those of us in the area, we just knew that this isn't right. And I will tell you, it wasn't about faith, although there are many of us who work in healthcare who are faithful people who are called according to Christ, and others who feel very strongly that we're doing the right thing. And nobody had an answer because there just wasn't any other research. And so, as getting back to the point that I was a commercial actor, I knew different producers. I worked on these little, you know, voiceover gigs or commercials what have you. And so I pitched this idea. I knew it'd make a great documentary film. And then they all said the same thing. You ought to do this yourself. You know, you don't turn over your baby to somebody else to raise, because if you do, I'm going to change it. And besides, I don't have time. So you should do it. So that was a big deal, Bob, because I mean, I had so much going on. It was really, we're living month to month, even though as a nurse, I was making, you know, a comfortable living, but not a lot. I wasn't really getting, you know, other sorts of support financially. And, you know, just to even, I really cried out to the Lord a lot. And I think that's one of the, that's one of the lessons as I look back. Every time I thought the Lord couldn't possibly be asking me to do this, then I went to prayer. And then he just kept reassuring me. And the things that I heard were things like, just take this one step and trust me. I'm like, oh, how can you say no to God when he says that?
Just one step. Just one little step.
Take the next step. Right. And then, oh, I just loved it. When my grandsons were watching the Disney movie Frozen, there's a little character in there. Maybe you've seen him. His name is Olaf. And he goes, just do the next right thing. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's so like the Lord. And so anyway, he encouraged me. And that, because I'm slow on the uptake and so forth, it took 5 years for that film to come into fruition. But the year was 2003, if you can believe it. It's been that long.
Wow.
And that film is still blessing people, being seen on four continents, because I put it out on Amazon. And not too long ago, you know how when you're watching things on, if you belong to Amazon Prime, which I do, it comes across and it says, because you like this, maybe you like this. My own film came up.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Amen. And I hadn't really seen it for a long time. And I thought, oh my goodness, it still touches me. Anyway, it's a real blessing. It's called Micro Premature Babies. How Low Can You Go? So anyway, amen. Thank you. Amen. That was that little rabbit trail that I followed.
Amen. Now, you've appeared yourself on stage, on screen, and commercials, on television. You've done voiceovers, as you said, and all of that. And all of that was in addition to your career as a nurse in the neonatal intensive care unit. And then you started your own production company to make your own documentaries and develop not one, not two, but three solo shows for your stage talks. Do you ever take time off?
You know, Bob, I have to comment on this whole thing about time off. I don't
what's
know
that?
About what's that? I don't know about your listeners, but every year I at the beginning of the year, I for the last over a decade, one of my goals has been to go through the Bible every year, you know, to be in the Word. And of course, we're recording this beginning of 2023, and so still in Exodus. And there's so many lessons about listening to the voice of God, about following, about the fact that we rebel and we, you know, go back into behaviors that we should not do. And then we repent and he forgives us and we take the next step again. And when, speaking of those, the downtime, I just don't see Moses having a downtime. I don't see when you read the Gospels, you know, I don't, and I have another book that's just fabulous about the 12 apostles. Not that there's a lot of information about them particularly, but I don't see that they took any time off. And you know what I mean? It's not that I don't enjoy life. I do. And this last year I went on a cruise and really enjoyed that. And it wasn't just luxuriating. I just love learning. And when you visit historical places, it's wonderful to see not only the beauty of the world, but to learn from other societies, what they've done and so forth. It enriches your life and the ability to meet other people and share who you are in your life and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. That's true. You know, as you were talking about the disciples and all that, we were talking about time off. The thought popped in my mind, you know, after Jesus died, went to heaven, you know, they went about doing their stuff for a few years. And one day, you know, Peter says, you know what? I'm tired of all this. I have some time. I'm going to go fishing. The others say, yeah, that's good. We're going to go with you. And Jesus showed up and said, what are you doing? I'm not done with you yet. Let's go. What are you doing? You know, so
amen. That is so like the Lord to just meet you where you are.
That's right.
And, you know, speaking of Florence Nightingale, another reason that I was so taken, and it took me, you know, 3 years to go read through. I wasn't thinking of doing a third solo show. Trust me. The first two were a lot of work. And I just thought, you know, it's not like you make a lot of money, but if you feel that you have something to say, okay, they've all been about healthcare. But Florence Nightingale, oh my goodness, she had not one, not two. I found three and possibly four, depending upon how you read what she wrote, instances when she directly felt a calling from the Lord. And she defines that as when she gets stuck and just against a wall sort of thing, or gets feeling like maybe she's unsure about what should she believe. Mm-hmm. You know, even though she was a faithful person, and I think people in those days were the educated people who had access to the scriptures.
Yeah.
She and her family, well, at least she and her mom and her sister, they read, they worshiped every Sunday, they digested what the pastors said. They talked about it during the week. They on Sunday, they read the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And so she was always comparing what she read to what she was experiencing. And as a pioneer in so many areas, going where nobody had really gone before, this was a big deal for her. There were a lot of questions in her life.
Amen. Amen. And you developed a solo presentation, you know, around her. Why did you pick her to portray in the show?
I think this must be a bit of divine, I don't know about intervention, but pushing. I'll tell you a funny story. 1 year, it was 2010. It was the anniversary of, I don't know, it's kind of a funny anniversary, of 100 years of her death, after her death. Mm-hmm. So academics were talking about it, and our academic librarian who was assigned to the School of Nursing at the University of San Francisco, where I was there, came into a faculty meeting and said, hey, y'all, you know, we've got all this in this year of celebration. What happened was the British Library and others have digitized all of her 200 books and articles and over 10,000 of her letters. And come on down, you know, got them. You can read them. And so I just, for fun, one day when I had some time between, you know, whatever, I'm prepping for classes, I went over and figured out with the librarian how to access these things. Because in 2010, it wasn't always clear to me, you know, you're in a university, there's ways you have to do this.
Yeah.
And then she gave me a code that I could use at home or wherever. And, you know, I just started at one place and started reading. And it was so fascinating because the woman, well, she didn't have television or movies or anything to distract her. She wrote so much, and she was really a good secretary of her own life. She was the journalist of her life. And one of the reasons was it was kind of like meditation for her in a lot of ways. And I don't know. Have you ever done, do you journal, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, well, so that's, I mean, a lot of the letters are showing her kindness and generosity with other people, because once she came back from the Crimean conflict, she got famous. And that's why my show is called An Evening with Florence Nightingale, The Reluctant Celebrity. She didn't want anything to do with it, but, you know, she had to put up with it. But she was so kind and so generous with her knowledge and with her time.
Amen.
Now, amen. You asked the question, why her? There's nobody like her that I have found. And I hope one day, as kindred spirits, when we're, you know, in the heavenly realms, that we'll be able to have a nice long talk. She didn't ever say no to God, and that was not easy.
Yeah.
She came up against a lot of people who put her down or didn't appreciate, because the common way in Victorian England was, you know, you're a woman, you're a homemaker, and, you know, we have Paul's words about the role of a woman.
Yep.
And she was conflicted because she felt God called her to help, to help women in social reform, you know, to have honorable work. You know, she looked around and she saw a lot of women who were not in the aristocracy. Let's face it, we say we don't have a class system here, but we kind of do.
Yeah, yeah.
You have education and a way to make a living, but it was the same there. If you don't, not very many people had education. Not very many women, mm-hmm. certainly had education. Yep. Hers right. was yeah. an unusual education yep. of
this
her
is,
time.
This was even before woman's suffrage here in the United States.
I mean, exactly,
this was a while ago. You know?
Exactly, and in that regard, there was there were a couple of other British women who came before her. Many years before her, but in terms of not just writing, but doing, you know, establishing the very first school of nursing in Britain, which still exists, to try and get honorable work and safe childbirth for women, to work hard with, the legislative policies of the time. You know, she had to be behind the scenes. So she had a whole covey of thoughtful men who were instructive and very instrumental in helping pass these mm-hmm. social reforms, which she sort of guiltified them into doing.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview. This was just part one of what turned into a great three-part interview with Dr. Candace Campbell, a.k.a. Florence Nightingale. Praise God. And this is being released right now. She is in a production off-Broadway, just off-Broadway, where she is Florence Nightingale giving her impersonation, and folks, you just need to go down the show notes, click the links right now to get a ticket to this off-Broadway production. She is doing her solo act, and it is absolutely awesome. I've seen the videos of what she's done previously, and she is awesome, and I know she's packing this place out. You need to get your tickets right now. Just if you're in the New York City area, listen to me. Go down the show notes, click the links right there. Go see her, support her. Tell her Pastor Bob sent you. If you get a chance to meet her, just say, hey, Pastor Bob sent him, and let her know that. Amen. But be sure to come back for part two in the very next episode as we're continuing this conversation with Candy Campbell, a.k.a. Florence Nightingale, as we're talking about improv to improve healthcare. Praise God. We'll talk to you then. Till then, it's Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.